Welcome to the Melanin Money Show with your host, George Achimpong and Carter Cofield. We're on a mission to decrease the wealth gap by $100 billion and in the process creating 100,000 new first generation millionaires. And we want you to be one of them. So listen to our show for weekly tips on personal finance, wealth building, and entrepreneurship as we help you navigate your journey to your first 1 million in net worth and beyond.
What's up, family? Welcome back to another episode of the Melanin Money Show. And today we got a special guest.
Very special.
We got my guy, Michael McDonald, on the show, man. How you feeling, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
He was giving out some sauce before the podcast, right? You had to be in the room for that one. But man, really appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a full circle moment. So I know, it was like end of last year, I think it was, maybe. But, I mean, time be flying. I don't know. I reached out. I think you just put out, like, you like put a soft, like, hey, I'm gonna show you a mentorship program. I'll show you all the game on how to, you know, grow your business, whatever. And I knew, even though our core business was doing good, I was like, but YouTube, they got the YouTube thing figured out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I reached out, practice what I preach, right? Because, like, people think that once you reach a certain level, like you just know it all, right? And I knew that. At least I thought that you had it figured out when it came to YouTube, and I was right. And so I tapped in, I reached out, paid the same day. I was like, yo, bro, got to tap in. And then it started out, you know, just as a traditional mentorship program. What I can say about this program is that, like, it was very, I'm not sure if you're changing it or evolving it, but, like, it was very hands-on. Mm-hmm. Any question I asked, it was answered, detailed, thorough, brought in his team to show me something, like, just really gave me the world to make sure that I could win. And I immediately went back to my team. Like, yo, bro, we got to make these updates on YouTube. We got to do this. And it worked. And we're starting to see a lot of great traction.
Channel grew 10,000 subs last month.
Last month alone?
Yeah, last month.
So nice. Appreciate you, brother. Dope. But yeah, man, so.
No doubt, man.
And then, really. Side note, you know my cousin, Siobhan. Siobhan Martin.
Where are you from?
Atlanta. Last Invest Fest party. So my cousin lives in Atlanta, and then she had came with you all when y'all came to the after party. I was like, how you know Mike? Say, we go way back. I'll show you her Instagram. You'll know it when you see it.
Yeah, probably. By face.
Yeah. Cool. But yeah, man. So a lot to talk about, a lot to get into, man. But I know our audience might not know you. I know this is within the past year or so, you're kind of coming from behind the scenes and really showing people like with the work that you've done to build the brand that you guys have. But for those of you who don't know you, kind of give us a little bit of the backstory on who is Michael.
Michael J. McDonald is a guy from Greenberg, New York. Where's Greenberg, New York? In Westchester County. Okay. I've been in digital media for about 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. I've been growing brands, and I've been doing it behind the scenes and helping businesses grow to the next level and, you know, monetize what they're doing. And mm-hmm. they do something great, I help them monetize 10x, say, right? Mm-hmm. My childhood friends, you know, we came up with a bunch of different ideas and stuff, you know, throughout the years. And then one of those ideas became Earn Your Leisure. And when we built Earn Your Leisure, and, you know, if you know, Earn Your Leisure is one of the biggest financial media companies in the world. And we were able to build that from a podcast and take it to InvestFest, which is a festival that has 20,000 people, a community that has up to 12,000 members, EY University. We have a network of podcasts under us because we became so, like, the authority in the space of podcasting. Mm-hmm. Why not create a network? So we created a network, and that's me. I'm like kind of the machine behind all of this stuff. Like, I do the operations of it all.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. And then I'll talk about EY in a second, but being behind the scenes of other people's businesses, so I know you've seen some that have worked out, some that haven't worked out. Mm-hmm. How do you know if a brand is worth attaching your name to and actually building? Is it based off of what they stand for, the entrepreneur? Like how do you know if it's something that you want to get behind and really pursue?
Well, Earn Your Leisure is really the first time I've ever attached my name to any brand I've ever built.
Okay.
And if you know, like, if you follow Earn Your Leisure, you probably never seen me in any pictures, and I was at everything, all the events, I was with all the
people. I've seen you at everything.
But I've just never gotten the pictures because I really just never attached my name to any of my brands. But then, you know, as time grew and I realized, like, I started to think I'm learning more about like branding, being out in front and how valuable it is. Mm-hmm. And the time is shifting where brand is so more important. Your personal mm-hmm. brand mm-hmm. is so more important. So I started to think to myself, I'm like, wow, what if I had my own personal brand the last 20 something years? What would that look like? You know, what would I be able to do? Because like, if I wanted to do like a mentorship without attaching my name to Earn Your Leisure, it would be hard for me to get clients to come to me, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're like, who are you? Who the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So now I was like, I had to attach my name to Earn Your Leisure because now I'm trying to build a personal brand. So that was the real reason why I attached my name to Earn Your Leisure, you know, because I did build it. I am the third owner of it. I'm one third of Earn Your Leisure. That's me. I'm the CEO of Earn Your Leisure, and I created something really, really special. And that just shows you, as the proof is in the pudding, that if you want the same success or you want something like that, I have a lot of insight, a lot of experience mm-hmm. to be able to take your business and show your business how to grow like that. So that's why I finally attached my name to it, because I decided to make a personal brand.
Dope.
And on top of that, like, I realized that, you know, you can't control your narrative behind someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, like if now that I have a kid, if any brand that I'm behind doesn't want to be a part of it anymore, they do something to mess up the brand, like Diddy, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if you want to put him in there, but
that's cool. I'm saying,
but I mean, I don't know the situation, not just talking about it, just because it's just so fresh in my mind. Like, he is the brand, right? Mm-hmm. And now he something happened publicly, which is maybe true, maybe not, but he had to detach himself from the brand, you know? So it's the same thing, right? But him being a part of the brand helps everything grow. Mm-hmm. Now he has to take himself away from it. It's the reverse engineering of me putting myself a part of the brand, if that makes any sense.
That makes perfect sense. So what y'all have built, obviously, is nothing short of amazing, right?
Thank you.
Best Friends, it's been our third year being a vendor, right?
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
The LTV. You know what I'm saying? That lifetime value. You know what I'm saying? And big supporter. Like, so my vantage point is this, right? Like, obviously, like, we're in the same, you know, same ecosystem. I remember you first, like, going through our brands, like, y'all pretty much doing the same thing we do, right? Like, you're kind of going through, like, with the same demographic. Yeah. But, and we have a partnership as well. So one thing we're always seeking is just understanding, like, what do you feel like are some of the ingredients of, like, maintaining a successful business partnership, especially with men? You know what I'm saying?
It's very hard because the bigger you get, the higher your ego gets, the more people are in your ear.
That's what it is.
It's a lot of things that come along with it. The good thing about me is, like, I'm still like the same person. I still live the same life. I still like, so I don't have like a escalated ego or something, mm-hmm. like, cause I'm still like the same guy. Like, I can still walk in the mall. I still do what I want. Like, you know, no one comes up to me. Like, I'm a regular guy. You know what I'm saying? Which, that's how I kind of like it. Right. You know, the very few times that people do come up to me because I just started putting my face in front of the camera, mm-hmm. it is what it is. But I think the most important thing about keeping the partnership alive is you always remember the reason why you started. So you guys came with this idea. I don't know how long ago, but when you did, but you came with an idea and you had a reason. It was a purpose. Mm-hmm. If you continue to stay to that purpose, I think no matter what, you're going to have fights or whatever and all that. You remain stuck on that purpose of why you started. I think everything will be fine. I think that's the key. But I made a post about friendship and business. Your friendship becomes second.
Have you ever been chilling on your couch and you were maybe trying to find something to watch on TV, whether it's Netflix or Hulu, Amazon Prime, Stars? I mean, there's so many streaming services nowadays, right? Maybe you've already binge watched that favorite series and it's over and you're just trying to find something else to watch. But imagine if you spent that energy trying to find creative and impactful content that can help you level up your journey towards your first 1 million in net worth. And that's exactly why we created Financial Flicks, which is a complete library of past workshops and masterclasses where you can learn different topics across personal finance, wealth building, and entrepreneurship on your journey towards your first 1 million in net worth. So head over to melaninmoney.com/join to learn about Financial Flicks as well as all the other great features that you can find inside of our Melanin Millionaires Club. Can't wait to see you inside.
Business relationship is first now, because no matter what, if the business relationship goes bad, everything else goes bad.
That's real, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just facts. Mm-hmm. Your friendship, now, if your business relationship is good, you can still have a friendship. But it is a time where you can actually have a friendship, have a business, then have a business relationship. Your friendship goes out the window because now it's just all about business. That's the first thing. So you got to really protect that business relationship because that controls everything.
That's real. Yeah, because the money start looking funny and something goes south, like it's going to be very hard to maintain that person. Which I always find it funny when people be like, you have a business life and a personal life. It's like, if shit is rocky in business,
it's my personal automatically
going to be rocky, right? And ain't really no separation. So another thing, right, and this is a lot of these are going to be asking for friend questions because, again, we are y'all really trailblaze the path that we are, you know, doing our best, obviously, you know, in our respective lane. But as you grow, right, obviously there's some variables you can't control, right? So, for example, y'all have had a lot of people on your platform and, you know, now you got people out here, I'm not going to call any names, but people who, like, will accuse y'all of co-signing, you know, certain people, right? So as you grow and you, like, have this responsibility, I guess you would say, as an authority in the space, how do you manage that, right? Because obviously you want to still continue to build relationships and connections with people, but now it's like people might be trying to just attach themselves to y'all because of who you are. Like, how do y'all manage that process as y'all continue to grow while still being the platform that people, you know, want to come to amplify their business and their brand and who they are?
Well, the first thing is we do vet. I think we do a great job of vetting everybody that comes on the platform. Mm-hmm. The thing is that once they come on this platform, right, this mega platform, they get a lot of attention, right? Mm-hmm. So you've been doing business with, say, 100 clients. Mm-hmm. You come on our platform, now you're doing business with 1,000 clients. If you're not managing 100 clients correctly, what you think is gonna happen when you get 1,000 clients, right?
So they're back in shaky.
And that's the problem, right? So it's not really, we don't really know, we couldn't tell that you weren't able to handle your business. Right. We know that you were doing business effectively. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of great reviews and you were a legit business, right?
Right.
Now, because you come on our business, our platform, and now you have 1,000 people now, and you can't handle it, and you start doing things with the money and change, it's totally not our fault. You know what I'm saying? Right. People can't. Now, my way of dealing with that is I always look and I learn from experience. You don't have to tell me. You know, you don't have to. I don't have to hit the stove to find out it's hot. Mm-hmm. I see you touched it; it's hot. I'm the younger brother, so I got to learn. I'm the baby brother. Mm-hmm. I got to learn from everybody. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, you know, I'm able to make better decisions, right?
Right.
So I look at Jay-Z, right? That incident happened in the mall, right? In the elevator.
Yep.
He never spoke one thing about it. It just died down slowly. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's how I would take it. I would take them off the platform and don't respond and let it die down slowly. Because there's no point. Because no matter what, if you say something, you're wrong. And if you don't say nothing, you just leave it alone. It'll be up to your imagination of what happened. Diddy's probably not going to say anything about whatever happened.
Yeah.
It's no point.
Because you're bringing attention to something.
You're already wrong in the public's eye. So what does it matter?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Big facts.
Let me ask you, this is a curiosity question. When y'all initially started EYL, honestly, did you think it could ever be as big?
Everything I say is honest.
I love that. Did you ever think that it would be as big as it is today?
It was a moment.
Take us through the journey.
I never looked at it outside of the country. I never even looked, never even thought about it. Uh-huh. Didn't even realize that people have the same issues that we have here, have in different countries. My mind didn't even see that far. Unfortunately, it didn't. What was the moment? Well, one of the moments was London. That was a moment. Oakland was a moment.
Walk us through the London, because I've seen some videos.
So London, and I'm going to say it, right? I don't know how it's going to come out, but I'm in London for about 3 days prior to our event. And we're staying in downtown London. Mm-hmm. I don't see not one black person. I'm all through London. I'm like running around. I'm all through it. I don't see not one black person. I'm like, damn, what is it? We got a big white audience here? Who's going to be at our event? Uh-huh. Like, this is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Our event happens. The line is, like, blocks. Mm-hmm. I literally have a video and I walked the whole entire line. It was like 3,000 mm-hmm. people outside, but it was all black people. I'm like, where did all these black people come from? I did not see not one black person yeah. the whole entire time mm-hmm. of me being here the whole 3 days. And that was when I was like, we different. That yeah. was one of those moments. That was definitely one of those moments.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
different. We are going to be in textbooks when kids learn one day. Yeah. We are going to be in classrooms, which we are to this day. We're in classrooms. Mm-hmm. You know, the teachers are bringing up our interviews and things like mm-hmm. that and studying them. And that was when I was like, this is crazy. Scary. Yeah.
I saw the videos. I saw the line. I thought it was cold outside. People were like still in line. It was crazy. And I just always love to hear those surreal moments.
It was cold. Like, it was.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't there. I just remember seeing the videos.
But that goes along with, I'm doing myself a disservice by not attaching myself to the brand.
Right.
That you have built.
Because the reality is my son's not, if I don't attach myself to the brand, my son will never know. He will look like, oh, where was you, dad?
Right.
What you think that would do to a father if he says, where were you, dad, when you see this big, big company that you have you played a major part in building? Like, this mm-hmm. company doesn't happen without me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So my son goes, where were you, dad? Why weren't you in the pictures? Mm-hmm. And that goes to play. This is why this all me having a son transformed everything.
Yeah. Shout out what y'all was telling him. I was like, ironically enough, our sons have the same name. Legend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because your son is how old?
17 months.
17 months. And my son is... 2. Now, once they hit 2, I stopped keeping track of the months. But he's like 2.5, roughly. Yeah. Speaking of which, so how did being a father, I guess, change? I think you got touched on it a little bit, but kind of change your overall outlook on just like the way that you wanted to build business and the way you wanted to kind of like take the dream and the vision at this point?
Well, I mean, it really goes along with that, with what I just said. It's like, it's just, If I'm not attached to history, then I won't be a part of history.
Are you an aspiring first generation millionaire who's looking to march towards their first 1 million in net worth? If you are, then I strongly encourage you to consider joining the Melanin Millionaires Club. Inside the Melanin Millionaires Club, you're going to get access to a complete library of elective courses that will help you navigate towards your journey of your first 1 million in net worth. You're going to receive access to My Wealth Health, which is a dashboard that allows you to track your financial progress in real time. You're going to get access to live workshops and masterclasses, and you're going to get access to our past library recording of all of our masterclasses and workshops called Financial Flicks. Not to mention, you're going to receive access to our flagship feature called Pocket Advisor, where you get access to a financial coach in real time. This is by far one of my favorite features of the platform, and there's so much more. All you have to do to learn more is go to melaninmoney.com/join to see how you can take advantage of all these benefits and become a first generation millionaire. See you inside the club.
Right? No, my fiance took a picture of me playing baseball a couple of days ago. That's why my face is all burnt. Mm-hmm. And my son's literally sitting on the net watching me.
Yeah.
Right? And she goes like this. She goes, look at your son looking at you. You're his blueprint. That shit hit me hard. Mm. You're his blueprint. So more importantly, everything I do is being watched. Not just by the world, but it's just being watched by him. And he even does it now. Like, I brush my teeth, he goes and gets his toothbrush and brushes his teeth. Yeah. He does everything I do. Mm-hmm. So I have to be very intentional on every single move I make, because I'm his blueprint. And that changed the whole trajectory of how I'm going to move going forward.
Yeah. I had this quote that I live by, and Carter can tell you, I've said it a few times, but it's, I never want my son to have to look past the front porch for inspiration. You know what I'm saying? Not to say that he has to do what I'm doing. If he don't want to do it, he has options. But I don't want him to feel like that he didn't have an example. You know what I mean? Whether mm-hmm. that's how I carry myself, whether it's, you know, how in shape I am, whether it's business, whatever. Like, I wanted him to have an example to where he's like, I don't have to look at an athlete or entertainer or somebody else. It's like,
yeah,
I can look right here inside of my house and have that example.
I think you achieved that.
My brother. I appreciate that, man. Yeah.
So I got some asking for a friend questions.
Okay.
So when it comes to media, how important is media in today's world if you want to grow a business?
It's the most important thing. I mean, imagine your phone, you have you can reach the whole entire world. 20 years ago, you couldn't. You know what I'm saying? You was doing flyers in the streets. Remember those street flyers?
Yeah.
And putting postal bills on the walls. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the media how you like, I got to get to a point where I'm recording everything. And that was always our tag, record everything. Somebody should have been following me because everything's content, right? And you never know what's going to go viral. You never know what's going to happen during when you're recording content, right? Mm-hmm. Like even the little conversation we had just before we started recording, that would have went viral. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But that's why you're always supposed to, that's why you're supposed to always record everything. And media, like your websites, your socials, your presentation, how you are presented, you know what I'm saying, on online and on media. It's the most important thing. It's probably 80 to 90% of your business. Like if you don't have a website, you don't have no presence online. It's just like no one knows you. You know, every business should have some type of presence online.
So let's do this, right? Like y'all obviously built one of the fastest growing media companies, right?
Mm-hmm.
If someone were starting today, right? And they say, "You know what? I wanna build my business the right way from the ground up, taking all the things that obviously went really well for y'all, some of the lessons learned along the way." What would be the blueprint that you would give somebody starting today who says, "You know what, I wanna be the next EYL," and maybe it's another genre, but I wanna be the next EYL. I wanna have an educational hub, I wanna have a thriving podcast platform, and you know, I just wanna grow my business overall. Like what would be the blueprint you would give
them? I would start with just your personal brand, right?
Okay.
And whatever that personal brand is going to be about, if it's going to be about podcasts, it'll be about podcasts. If it's going to be about financial literacy, it's going to be about financial literacy. Mm-hmm. The first thing is your personal brand. A lot of people don't realize that Earn Your Leisure started off with a personal brand. When you have a personal brand, it's much easier to grow a business off of a personal brand because a person likes you and trusts you. When you present that brand to them, they're gonna be more enticing to support that brand because they already trust you already.
Right.
It started off in Rashad's personal brand. I started working with Rashad 2 years prior Earn Your Leisure.
Okay.
So he built his personal brand to 40,000 followers. And that was that's how we catapulted Earn Your Leisure so fast because all those 40,000 people came on to like Earn Your Leisure because they already liked. They knew, liked, and trust Rashad. So that's the first thing I would say is build your personal brand.
Okay.
Now, after you've built your personal brand, if it's a podcast, say, right? You want to start a podcast. I would say focus on that podcast. Don't focus on so many other things outside that podcast. You have to build one tree and then the branches will follow. It's just like us. We built a podcast. We focused on a podcast. As the podcast grew, we started adding branches to our tree. Right. Whether that was EYL University, EYL InvestFest, EYL Network, all these different things. EYL Trucking, merch, all those different aspects of the business started to grow from that one thing. But we focused on this and became a master at podcasting.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. Just focus on one thing. And as it grows, you'll know when it gets to a point where you can scale up. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That's how I would do it today. I mean, the simple process.
If you think about all the things that went really well, what's something you would have done different in the process in terms of what y'all built so far?
I'd attach my personal brand to
it. Did that faster. It makes sense.
I would have definitely did that. Me personally.
Yeah.
As a company, we should have delegated much sooner. Hired AB on the first day instead of on like this year after year end.
He's y'all's person that manages.
He's our CEO. Yeah, he's our CEO. Okay. I mean, would have focused more on EYL University sooner on the digital aspect because when we first started, we focused on the event aspect.
Yeah.
COVID happened and we all started to focus more on the digital aspect.
Gotcha.
But I would have focused more on a digital asset in the beginning. So those are some things I probably would have changed. Okay. Knowing what we know now.
Okay. What would you say that you can share at least? What's something that's next or on the horizon for whether it's you as an individual or EYL as a company that maybe people either don't know about yet or that's in the works that you can share?
I mean, the biggest focus right now is InvestFest.
Okay.
That's the biggest focus in terms of the company.
Yeah.
We're working on some like other curriculums and things like that.
Yeah.
For EYL. Also, we got big partners that we're trying to orchestrate some events and some different kind of like you know, things to do with the community and the culture.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as myself, you know, I'm in a mix of how I want to because I think I went about my personal brand the wrong way. Like I forgot who I am. You know, I didn't realize the ability that I actually have, like who I, like I don't have to start from the ground up. I always thought I had to start from the ground up. Even though no one knows me, it doesn't really matter. There's a different way to go about things. And I have the ability that I did build multiple brands to, you know, 8-figure businesses, right? So, yeah, I don't have a personal brand, but it doesn't mean that I have to start from doing webinars or doing this influencer mm-hmm. thing. I don't have to do that. Not that I did too much of it, because I wasn't salesy. I'm not a salesy guy. Mm-hmm. I just do what I love. And like I started the Mac Pack and I love doing it. Like I go on every week and teach people about everything I know. And my goal is to literally everything I in my brain that I do in media, I want to teach people. I want to mm-hmm. teach every single thing I do. And that's my goal. And I enjoy doing it. It's not like, you know, I don't even promote it. Like people just sign up. They see it in my episodes or my podcast or whatever. I just talk about it, you know, hey, you know, if you want to come to the Mac Pack, but I don't promote it really too much on social media. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, maybe I might in the future, maybe I might not. I don't know, but mm-hmm. I just enjoy doing it. I love doing it. I love making content. I make a lot of content that I don't even put out. What I realize is that when I turn that camera on, I could talk about anything and it doesn't have to go out to the world. But what it does do, it takes this load off my chest or my shoulders and I release it into the camera mm-hmm. and it's become therapeutic for me. So that's why I enjoy making content at this point. So I will probably never stop making content. I may stop putting it out
mm-hmm.
And just make just the Mac Pack content because I just love teaching people. I love helping people as much as I can. I've been helping people my whole life and now I got my own little community and, you know, shouldn't say that. My own huge community.
I was gonna say, I was gonna cut you off.
My own huge community.
Yeah.
That I get to inspire and help, mm-hmm. and we all, you know, work out, have like minded, and build together.
Yeah. So what I love about you all is again, three brothers. Was more. I know it's a lot of people, like three main focal brothers that came together and saw a bigger purpose,
mm-hmm.
and set their ego aside to build something that y'all could have built that y'all built together that could have been bigger than anything y'all built on your own, right? Mm-hmm. And now it's led to you all to meet phenomenal people
mm-hmm.
In the journey. So my next question to you is, out of all of the phenomenal people you've met, who for you was like the best experience, and what was one of the best lessons that you learned from one of the, you know, whether celebrities or influencers or, you know, whoever you all met? What was one of the best people and one of the best lessons that you all got from Robert Smith to Steve Harvey, like to all these people, right?
I didn't really communicate with, like, I mean, I've had very vague conversations with Steve Harvey. I had vague conversations with Robert F. Smith. I mean, it sucks to say, but not, take that part out.
Yeah.
Edit that.
Yeah.
I don't even want to say his name. I'm not going to say his name.
Okay.
I mean, it's so many great people I met. So many great people mm-hmm. I met.
Yeah.
And it just depends. It's all timing. Like, he may have been, you know, inspirational in my life, but he may have, you know, I haven't had a better conversation with him.
Yeah.
So it was like, it's so many different people. Mm-hmm. I would hate to say just one person because it's been so many different people that inspired me. I mean, it, you know, so many people, like, I couldn't pick one.
Okay.
I couldn't pick one.
Fair enough.
I mean, I could pick one from the beginning. Derek, what's his last name? Episode 12, I believe. He owned a store, but he owned a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
And Buttermilk, I think it was called, in Baltimore. And I just love the way he, you know, how he started from nothing. And this is like, he was like one of the first inspirations from Earn Your Legion's path mm-hmm. because he started from nothing, you know, came from nothing. And the way he like broke down his business and the finances and how to grow and how to have to own the building and like that was inspiring to me. Like, you know, he's like, I'm not in the restaurant business. I'm in the real estate business. Mm-hmm. It's just, I happen to have a restaurant. So it was like, that was kind of like one of the things that like, that was one of those moments where I was like, we got some dope shit.
Yeah.
Could you imagine having a financial coach that at any given time you could ask your questions in real time from a real expert and get real advice? To be honest, Pocket Advisor is the flagship feature, in my opinion, of the Melanin Millionaires Club. And when I originally created this platform, for those of you who may not know this, Pocket Advisor was actually the name and the primary feature back in 2021. But when I rebranded to the Melanin Millionaires Club, I knew that no matter what we added or changed, Pocket Advisor had to stay, because we have democratized financial advice by giving you access to a real financial expert in real time. There is no other financial education platform that you'll find something like this that's actually backed by a financial advisor. One of the top 100 in the nation, I might add. So if you're looking to get financial education in your pocket in real time, head over to melaninmoney.com/join to learn about Pocket Advisor, as well as all the other great benefits and features that you can find as a part of the Melanin Millionaires Club. Can't wait to see you inside.
We got some dope shit.
Because what's interesting, at least from my take, you let me know if I'm wrong in this assumption. It seems like the media business is like, when y'all first started out, like, obviously, I mean, y'all probably were doing what y'all were doing, y'all own thing or whatever. But in the beginning, it's like, okay, we built this platform that people can appreciate. But some of the guests y'all had on, like, they might have had a bigger bag than y'all at the time, right? Y'all just had the bigger platform, right? But it's interesting to see almost like the shift and the evolution to where...
Man, that's still happening.
I mean, oh, yeah. Definitely still happening. But like, to see, like, I just imagine, like, there's a lot, probably a lot of aha moments where like, man, y'all remember we was just like, we had the show. We was kind of like all inspired by some of the people that we were bringing on. And now, like, our bag, you know, say our bag is just as deep, you know, to a degree. Obviously, now y'all got all sorts of people. Barbara Cochran, I think is her name. Mm-hmm. You have all sorts of people on the show. But I can imagine it seems like, at least from the outside looking in, it was like, y'all started a platform. Platform started to gain some recognition. People wanted to be on the platform to amplify their business. And then now it's like either neck and neck, or y'all are doing just as well from a financial standpoint than some of the big heavy hitters that y'all have on the show. Yeah. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the bag determines like the success. So I don't want to say the bag, but I will say like there's been people that taught us things and we've actually taught them things, but you still have to humble yourself, right?
For sure.
Like even if I start to interview with someone that I might be, I feel like that I might be on a higher level than them or something, I still got to humble, because you can learn from anybody.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I learn from my son every day, you know what I'm saying? But you can learn from anybody. So I think no matter how success in terms of finances or in types of celebrity, I think everyone should always be able to humble themselves and listen. Because if you can't listen and you're just always talking, always doing the most talking in the room, then you're going to be one of those ones that never grow. You're going to stay stuck in that room, if that makes any sense.
That makes sense. Makes perfect sense.
1,000. So you, we talked about, you know, the future plans for your leisure. You talked about the future plans for you. Outside of focusing on your personal brand, what is a major goal for you in 2024?
I mean, I have some goals. Just have to rearrange them. I mean, I hit one of them. Wanted to get that nice house, you know?
yeah. We heard about that. Yeah.
Wanted to get the nice car. But those are materialistic things. You know? Yeah. I just want to be a great father. I want to be a great husband. I just want to be inspirational to all the people that's close to me.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I'm shooting for now. Like, those materialistic things were really cool in the beginning. But it gets to a point that how much more things can you get? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. You know, it becomes, you know, old, you know?
Yeah.
But I definitely want to grow the MacPac community. Mm-hmm. I want to grow Ewile University. I want InvestFest to I don't care about how many people we have, but I want every single person that comes to InvestFest.
Yeah.
I want them to say this is the most amazing conference, festival, mm-hmm. experience I've ever had in my entire life.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's really like my personal goals. Like, I'm not really a selfish type of dude. I be trying to be selfish and just think about me. Yeah. It's just not in me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm always for the whole team. I'm a team player.
Yeah,
right. That's how Earn Your Leisure works, right? Like, yeah.
For you to have been behind the scenes for that long, but I don't know how many men mm-hmm. with our egos would have been okay being behind the scenes of something this epic for that long. And you saw the bigger picture. I'm sure you didn't just do it because you didn't want to. It's like, I know in this season, I need to take the step back so I can focus on other things. And that, dude, I know that took a lot. Like,
well, everyone got a part to play, right? Like, mm-hmm. I prefer to be behind the scenes. Even to this day, I prefer to be behind the scenes, you know? But again, it goes back to you don't have control of your destiny, right? You know, as people grow, like, you know, Troy and Rashad, they're just not like just my friends. They're celebrities now, right? Mm-hmm. Who knows the future for them, right? Like, how much longer can they do what they're doing, right, on this level, right? I don't know. I don't want to hold them accountable to take me with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not a celebrity. They're celebrities. So they could literally say, oh, man, we're done. We're going over here, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd be damned if I let somebody control my destiny, you know what I'm saying? And I got to start all over again, right? So instead of me, you know, worrying about anyone else outside of me, I got to focus on just building things in place, businesses and properties and mm-hmm. things like that to make sure that I'm good because I became accustomed to a certain lifestyle. And I'd be damned if I, you know, we talked about this, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to go back, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So so I just had to rearrange certain things. And I tried this. Because I'm trying like what I want to be true to myself. But I also want to be able to make a decent amount of income to survive in the worst case scenario.
Yeah, not for sure. For sure. One question that came to mind for me is y'all interviews, you know, the show has interviewed so many people. Got a chance to get an up close look at a bunch of different business models, right? So if someone's trying to figure out in 2024, like, all right, like, I don't know a ton about business, like, but I want to get started. From what you've seen, right? What's like a viable business model or two that you've seen that like somebody like could really get started in and thrive, even if they don't know a ton about business right now?
I think podcasting is a big business. I think it's a great business to get into. People say it's oversaturated, but you see like Shannon Sharp been doing it for 3 years. He just got his wow moment, right? A couple months ago. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's so much information that's out there.
Yeah.
But there's so many more people that need to consume the information. So I don't think it's more information than people yet. Mm. So as long as it's more people than information, there'll always be a need for it. Mm. It's like the trucking industry. When we first got into trucking, we were making bazooka bucks a week or a month, right? Because there were more loads than there was trucks. Once it became more trucks on the road, it became less loads. Mm-hmm. Now they can charge, instead of charging $1,000 for this load, they could charge $500 because they know they're gonna get it because it's not too many loads mm-hmm. and it's so many trucks and somebody gonna take it.
Yeah.
So it's the demand. Mm-hmm. And I don't think the demand is reaching. I think like radio might still have about 50% mm-hmm. of advertising dollars. Mm-hmm. Until that number's down to zero, I think you should be podcasting and doing it all the time because it's something you can get in behind this mic and talk about whatever you love, whatever you like, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And you could put it on Apple Podcasts, put it on Spotify, and you have access to the world mm-hmm. just in an instance.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. So speaking of podcasting, right, like that's what y'all focused on first. But I think many people don't understand how to monetize a podcast, right? So can you kind of break down like how to make a podcast a business, like how you can make it profitable for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's very simple to, well, the first thing is you have to get a part of a network that has an agency, right? The great thing about Red Circle is you can actually be on any kind of a
platform. We just switched to Red Circle.
You switch?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
you don't even have to switch anymore. They started, they doing an agency now. I asked them, can I white label it? You know, I'm always thinking ahead of the time. Yeah. But you want to be a part of a network that has a component where they actually go out and buy and search brands.
So by agency, you mean like they go out and find advertising dollars and bring them back to the platform and distribute it to the people on the platform.
Correct.
Based off.
Okay. Correct. And they get a percentage.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. That's the first way you can, you know, monetize. The mm-hmm. second thing I always say is go to your immediate network, your friends and your family, and say, give me, like, you know, what, you got a business, you got a brand, right. Give me a couple hundred dollars, you know, I could promote you on your podcast. That's the second thing I would say. These are the first two things I would do. The third thing is I would create something that I could have a way to make money, whether it be a ebook or a course or a community or merch. And the merch is a simple way, because you can go to Printful and you don't have to spend a dollar and literally have a merch company. They make even a free website now.
Right.
So you don't have to spend not a dollar, and you can create merch. And the people that, if they don't have a brand that you know, they'll support you and buy your merch because they just want to support you and they want to just show you they care and they support you. So those are things right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can scale those things, right? Because now you can go to a podcast like, so I'm earning your lead. You're melon money, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm earning your leisure. Mm-hmm. We have the same type of audience, right? Mm-hmm. If I was you,
yeah,
I would literally go to my podcast mm-hmm. and listen to every single ad that is listening, that's being advertised on my podcast.
Yeah.
And say, hey, we got the same type of audience, and contact those companies, those mm-hmm. brands. We got the same type of audience. Would you like to, you know,
advertise on our platform?
Maybe give them a free episode for free,
mm-hmm.
you know? And those are the things, like I always tell people, the only people that I've been working with the last 3 years are people that actually did work for free, like literally send it to me. So I made this for you and it was dope. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, cause now I get to see it.
Right.
It's hard to visualize and get to believe that you're really good. But now if you made me a video, like a reel, right? Mm-hmm. You made a reel of you took my content, you took it without, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. took it, made it all dope, send it to me, said, yo, I could keep making this and it's dope.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more inclined to work with this person because I seen it.
Right.
So now if they seen an ad on your platform and it worked, they had a couple of people, they're gonna be more inclined to get a long-term business deal with you, you know? So right. Those are the things, you just gotta be creative with it. And people aren't really creative. Like even getting a sponsorships for our event, for InvestFest, mm-hmm. our title sponsorship is gonna come because we was at an event, right? And we seen event that looked like ours, that had the same audience as ours.
Mm-hmm.
We seen a big company advertise there. We know, because we do events, that there's a representative. Yes.
Gotcha.
Of every brand that sponsors an event at the event.
Oh, at the event.
Correct.
Okay.
So they have to make sure that
their event placement is where it's supposed
correct.
To be.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know that because we do events.
Yeah.
When we at this event, we see that big sponsor. Whoa. Let's find out who.
Where's the rep at? Yeah.
Not only was that just the representative,
uh-huh.
it was the person to talk to give the money.
You know, it said you should get a health checkup at least once a year. My question is, when's the last time you had a financial health checkup? My guess, it's probably been a while. And that's why we created the Wealth Health Score. Whether you're financially out of shape or financially elite, the Wealth Health Score is going to tell you exactly where you stand and what things you can do to get into the best financial health possible. So visit mywealthhealthscore.com to get your score today.
Got you.
So now we're literally talking to the person right. mm-hmm. that says yes to the check. So we look at these big companies and we're thinking it's a bunch of people. No, it's that one mm-hmm. or two per people to give the money. And that means be inside the room, get in the room. If you can get in the room,
yeah.
you have a bigger, better chance mm-hmm. to get that business right. from the client.
So you going know? To an event that has your similar demographic.
It's the same thing
like I told you about. Sponsoring and then boom.
It's the same thing I'm telling you about going on top of the spot. The, yeah, podcast.
That podcast game was crazy. Listening to somebody's ads, because you know they did the vetting on the front end. Like, we know our audience wants to be in front of EYL, right?
Yeah.
They already vetted, like, our audience likes financial literacy, our audience is this age, our audience has this demographic. Correct. So they already vetted. So now when you come to them, you're not giving them more work to do. We have the same audience that you already know you want to advertise in front of.
Correct.
But he saved that sauce. I talked to Mike 3 times a month. He saved that's
new
sauce.
That's new sauce right there.
I mean, you gotta get me on the right time.
Nah.
I give everything, man. It's just whatever I'm thinking at the time. I have a lot in this brain, you know. Nah, I think it was too much drinking or something in the past. We clocked ourselves.
But nah, man, we really just appreciate, you know, who you are and who the brand is, and what y'all have done for the culture, right?
Thank you.
Which is why we, you know, hosted our award show last year, right? To amplify, you know, thought leaders in the space who are really moving the needle forward, right? And so I told you I had it. He didn't believe me. I told him I was going
to. Yeah, I didn't believe you. I didn't believe you.
Brought y'all's award.
Oh, man, we got the award. It's a real award.
It's a real award. You know what I'm saying? If y'all would have been there, we would have came to y'all in person.
Yeah.
Well, this shit heavy.
Yeah, bro. It's the real deal.
Wow. Thank you. The Nipsey Hustle Impact Award.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
So we did it. Yeah, I feel like we made it. Hey, Mama, we made it.
Not only we got to have y'all there at this award show to present the next person to receive that award.
This is dope, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is dope.
Nah, absolutely, brother.
This is dope. This is heavy, man.
Yeah, I put it in my bag. I was like, God, damn. I should have mailed this directly to him.
This is going to be expensive. This is dope, man. Appreciate it.
Nah, absolutely, man. But we really appreciate what y'all have created, the path that y'all's trailblazed. Because a lot of stuff we're doing now doesn't feel crazy. It didn't feel crazy for us to do a podcast tour last year. I mean, before y'all did it, we never saw it before, right? Yeah. At least not amongst the culture. Then we did it last year. We sold out. That was our moment, I think, right?
Yeah,
We went to Houston, went to Chicago, went to these cities we'd never been to, and hosted an event sold it out, right? And that was because we saw that it was possible. So we appreciate
thank you. And that's another thing, just doing whatever someone's doing, take it and just put your sauce onto it.
Right.
We've seen people doing summits, conferences, and we just said, let's do a festival. That's another, you know, key to, you know, you don't have to really change the wheel, but just take the wheel and just add a different rim to it.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just put your own rims on it, baby.
Yeah, it's like, and that's what we've been able to do. We've been able to do it at a high level.
Yep.
And you guys are doing really great too. You know, y'all growing like crazy, you know?
Appreciate that, bro.
And you know, anything I can do, you know, always give me a call. I'm always ready. You know what I'm saying? I always going to give my advice as much as possible because I love, like I said, I love helping people. I love seeing people grow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact that I've come from where I come from, it filled the journey. And that's the thing about this. I realize I love the journey.
Yeah. Because what about that? Yeah.
Like, I really wanted this house. I was trying to get this house for like 6 or 7 months. My fiance didn't want me to get it. She was like, don't get it. Da, 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 you know, she's somebody that's very reserved. Uh-huh. She likes to look at her money. And like you said, I like to spend my money. But it's like everything I had to do, like even like, if you're in finance, so you know, like they look at every single dollar you spend and da, 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 da. I had to literally like not spend no money. You know how hard that was for me. I had to just, you know, just really like just do, it took about 6 to 7 months to get this house. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm definitely blessed. I thank God every day that I got this house, right? Cause this is my forever home, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm going to move for the next 20, 30 years. Yeah. But it was the journey, like, every single night just dreaming about it, looking at the pictures and saying I'm gonna get it, saying I'm gonna get it, waking up. And that thing is real. That's real. When you say you wake up and start saying it, like you every morning you say, I'm gonna do it. I'm the best, I'm the greatest. That's what I teach my son. Like, say, you're great. I tell him now, you're a king. You keep putting it into your head, you start to believe it. And when you believe something, when you give somebody, I'm not going to say false confidence because I'm thinking about basketball. Because when I started scoring 20, I thought I was Jordan for a second. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you start believing
the
in yourself.
The manifestation, the visualization.
Right? Yeah,
you got to see it here before you can see it in real life, bro.
And that's what I said. I said, you got to think it, write it down, and say it out loud. It's real.
I feel like that's what y'all did with UIL, right? Y'all kept
100%.
Saying, y'all kept saying the biggest.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. And you start saying something, other people start to believe it too.
Right. Cause
and
then what happens is like, well, prove that I'm not, right? You know what I'm saying? And so at that point, they said they're the biggest. All right, so now we got, what's up? We gotta figure out, we gonna figure out a show. But but nah, man. Oh man, this has been a pleasure, man. The last question that we always ask everybody that's on our show, right? Cause as you know, our mission is to help 100,000 people of color achieve their first $1 million in net worth so we can decrease the wealth gap by $100 billion. And so my question to you is, what does being a melanin millionaire mean to you?
The first word that comes to mind is change. You get to change the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
My son will have a different upbringing than I did. I changed the narrative. I changed the course of my family's life just by me receiving the success I received so far. I literally made it, even my friends, now they see it, they believe it. And it's good because we all got the same friends growing up because we're childhood friends. Mm-hmm. Our whole community sees what we did. So not just one, not just two, but three people you've seen from the same community literally changed their life. Yeah. Them two are building these big mansions in the community. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I left, I went to Atlanta. Sorry, guys. But you can actually like see it like three times over. Like you can, they always put it on minds that we shouldn't work together. We have to be against each other, crabs in a barrel. Mm-hmm. And you know, subconsciously we believe this shit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? We believe that we can't work together. Like even you go on podcasts and they say, why can't we work together? Like you start saying something, you start believing it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Stop saying it. Like we can work together. Yeah. We can absolutely work together. Mm-hmm. You see it happening. Three brothers from the same community that none of us was rich. We came from like, you know, not too much.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew a multiple multi-million dollar companies.
Mm-hmm.
So it can happen. Stop saying why can't we happen? Just say when you're going to do it or something, you know, do it, you know. Y'all two are doing it.
Yeah.
We just got to change the way we think. You know, I think it's a narrative out there that they're trying to impose on us. And as long as we believe it, we're never going to change it. And that's why I think what you said, the first thing says change. Yeah. I think I'm a part of the change.
Definitely. Love it. Hey, bro, well, we appreciate you for coming on the show. This is your formal invite to Wealth Weekend 2024. So
what's the date?
July 26th.
Yeah, July 26th.
Yeah, 28th. Yeah. So I'll obviously, of course, give you more details. But
it's gonna be in Atlanta.
Yes, sir.
Atlanta.
So I got to do is roll out of bed and pull up. You know what I'm saying? But nah, man, we appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
And we can't wait to keep building. And thank you for coming on the show, bro.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Melanin Money Show. We hope that this episode was inspiring and gave you some tangible nuggets that you can walk away with and implement in real time. If you found this episode valuable, please like, subscribe, share, and consider leaving a review of this episode on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until next time.